Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Building Better Blocks to a Healthier Life Show with Penny McElroy. Daily episodes packed full of informational wellness nuggets. Because your healthier life is closer than you think.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and during the month of November, we're learning all about building blocks to good health from certified integrative nutrition coach, Penny McElroy. Now, this week, we've been talking about our health and wellness IQ, and on today's show, we're going to recap an entire week's worth of shows into 15 minutes. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to try. We're going to try and put them into bite-sized nuggets. So, Penny, first of all, let's start off with identifying your health and wellness IQ.
Remember when I told you that it's actually not in the dictionary, and there's really not a whole lot online, so you kind of break it up. What is health? Health is a state of complete mental, physical, and social well-being versus sickness. It's a totally different industry. And then you're measuring that. That's where the IQ part is. What do I know about being healthy? What do I know about staying healthy? And where can I learn more? So that's kind of what health IQ is all about. And all of us need to be on a quest with no end in sight of learning more and more about our own particular bodies and how it works and how we can make it healthy.
Well, that ties really well into something that I know I've heard you mention before, that each day we're either taking steps to improve our health or we're taking steps to, you know, help, I know you said maybe it's like to deteriorate our health. That might not be the right phrase, but we're either working to improve or we're working to destroy. And we may not think of our daily decisions as doing that, but actually that's what it is.
It is, and it's all about the choices that we make on a daily basis. And like I said, I mean, it's a journey. So if you don't make the right choices today, don't beat yourself up. Just understand that tomorrow you can make better choices. And don't use that as an excuse, but it's important to keep your mental state to where you feel good about who you are. And if you continue to beat yourself up, that's not going to happen.
Well, one of the things we talked about was that in order to help you have a positive health and wellness IQ, a really good suggestion was to surround yourself with like-minded wellness and fitness folks. And so what's your top tip for doing that?
Join a club, join a group, hang out at the grocery store, at like Whole Foods, someplace like that. If you can't find that buddy within your own circle of friends, family, it's important that you reach out to the community and find someone. Actually, having a buddy is the number one reason why people are successful at whatever health changes that they want to make, lifestyle changes that they want to make in their life. So having that buddy is the center of changing things.
Well, you know, they say what no man is an island, and in the case of fitness and trying to turn your health around, I think that's never more true, because it can be, not that going out for a ride or a walk or a run by yourself or, you know, eating a healthy meal by yourself isn't good, it is, but how successful are you going to be if you don't have someone to cheer you on and to take that journey with you over the long term?
Or even to challenge you. You know, some people really thrive on competition. Personally, I don't. I want everybody to win. But a lot of people do thrive on competition. So if you have a buddy that actually competes with you and you are a very competitive person, that works real well. If you have a buddy that just likes to have close friendships like me, it works real well to encourage each other along, you know, to sing everybody's praises. So you have to know yourself, know what actually will help you motivate and that be motivated to make these changes. And that's going to tell you who you really would need to have as a buddy. You know, who's your ideal buddy?
You know, I think that's why things like Fitbit and Nike Plus and different, you know, Strava and Map My Ride and all these different apps that folks use to kind of keep track of everyone else's fitness are so successful, because I know on the Fitbit, being track of everybody's steps, and you watch someone do 15,000 steps and you only did 10,000, you may decide to go for a walk around the block to try and catch up to them. So for me, I am someone who likes the friendly competition, and also the camaraderie of us kind of, you know, poking at each other and you know, kind of encouraging one another to move forward in, you know, a healthy progress.
Yeah, the biggest kick I got out of using my Fitbit was watching you and your mom compete. That was funny.
Well, so a lot of times when we try, when we go, you know, we make the decision to be responsible for our health, and we want to kind of transition our lifestyle to be something that's sustainable in a healthy way over a long term, we need to make changes at home. And we talked about this, about how, what are some of the things that we can do to minimize the potential for strife from our families or within our close peer groups when it comes to embarking on a new health and wellness program.
My number one tip is don't become that obnoxious expert and try to shove it down everybody's throat, because that's the worst thing you could do within your own family. Okay? Make sure they understand where it is that you want to go and why you want to go there. And the reason why that is probably my very favorite topic is because I have watched so many of my family members pass away from degenerative disease that they didn't have to go through. It didn't have to happen to them. If I had had the knowledge back then that I have now, and they would have listened to me, then that their whole they could be here today. And so that's why I'm so passionate about it. So be gentle with your family. Explain what you're trying to do. Understand that you need to be the catalyst, maybe moves everyone in that direction, and that may take some time. They need to see your progress. They need to see that you've dropped weight, that you feel better, that your energy level is higher, that you're happier. You know, they need to see that, and they will come along and become your biggest advocates and join you on your quest.
You know, I think one of the things we talked about was maybe having it be sort of, as opposed to being something that's kind of confrontational, maybe have it be something that's a sneak attack, where you're making those changes kind of quietly and to yourself, and they're just noticing the changes so that it spurs them to wonder what it is that you're doing that's making these changes so that they can join you, as opposed to do, I think I called it like a ninja sneak attack or something. And so I really think that that's something that can work really well.
It does. It works real well. And you can do simple things. I mean, somebody can go back and listen to the show that we did about it, but like cooking for your family or asking them to have something that is raw, you know, like vegetables or a fruit or something with every meal if they're actually the one that's doing the cooking for you. But there's so many different things that you can do, but just understanding that they are, will eventually be your strongest advocates and be right along beside you, and you could actually save a loved one's life.
And now we move on to eating out. So eating out doesn't have to sabotage our health and wellness plan. What are some of the things that we can do? Because it is so very, very tempting to kind of go off the deep end when it comes to eating out.
It is, and it's a psychological thing. Because psychologically, we think eating out is a treat, and we want to treat ourselves. We feel like that we deserve that. But you can find different ways of being able to treat yourself. The simple rule to follow is stay away from the white. If it's white rice, if it's white flour, if it's white anything, you know, just stay away from the white, because there's no nutrition in that. It's empty calories, and there's usually other stuff that's been put in there that's going to sabotage you. So if you keep that in mind, you go into a restaurant, you sit down, and there's bread, you know that's white. So, hey, let's take the bread off the table. Then that way I'm not tempted to eat it. If you're going to a fast food place and you've got a choice between a salad with grilled chicken on it versus a hamburger, make the right choice. Nobody's there to watch you, but it depends on how serious you are about wanting to actually make those changes. So make the right choice. It's up to you. And everybody knows what it is they're supposed to be eating. It's in our face all the time. So it's just a matter of making the right choice, having the decision that, yes, I am serious about this, and, yes, I am going to make the right choices.
Yeah, we're going to have to kind of police ourselves when it comes to eating out, but it's not a bad thing. I hadn't really thought about that, the bread, the baked potatoes, the mashed potatoes, the rice, all the things that the starches that we love to eat. I guess if we eat things that are just vegetables and protein, we're probably better off.
Now, we are, but you do need to make sure, especially in the beginning, you need to make sure you've got that cheat day. Because most of us, we think of not having our comfort food as being a punishment, as being something I just don't want to do for the rest of my life. So if you allow yourself that cheat day that you can have anything you want and you do the right thing, you make the right choices for 6 days, and then on that seventh day, I can have a piece of cake if I want. You know, I can have potato chips if I want. It doesn't work for everybody because if they're in a health crisis, that cheat day is really not a luxury that they can afford. But if they are just trying to gradually change their lifestyle and make better choices, keep that cheat day. Eventually, you will not crave those things like the cake and the potato chips and the fried food. You won't crave them after a period of time. But you have eased yourself into it, ninja attack, like you said.
So that leads us right into stress eating, and especially with the holidays coming up, it can be really easy to kind of fall into a stress eating binge. So what is your top tip for stress eating, or not stress eating, I should say?
Find something else to do besides eat. Make sure that you're not on a physiological high on food. And we talked about doing the reset as a way of being able to mark that off of our culprits first, so that it's not our body craving that sugar high that many of us have. Once you have that sugar craving under control, then you can be sure that whatever is that you're eating for, whether it's stress that you're eating for, and stress could be anything, could be at work, could be emotions from people issues, it could be I've got a deadline, whatever the stress is. Some stress is good, but you don't want to go overboard on it. So find something besides food to deal with that stress. Yoga, bike riding, meditation, listening to soft, easy listening music, whatever it is, just control the stress.
Well, Penny, can you believe it? We did it with a couple of minutes to spare. I felt like I was talking kind of super duper fast just to make sure that we got it all in.
Me too.
Well, hey, folks, we hope that you have enjoyed week one of the Healthy Building Blocks show with Penny McElroy. This week was Health IQ. Next week, we're going to talk about sleep and how important it is when it comes to maintaining good health and wellness.
To receive more Healthy Building Block tips, simply go to yourwellnessplan.com.